Matthew chapter 3. I want to read two verses, and I want to take our minds and our spirit and really move toward a consideration of the Father's love for the Son. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Usually when we hear a verse like that, we end up stressing the fact that God showed his love toward us, and the emphasis is on the us. But for a few moments, I want us to think of what it meant for God the Father to love God the Son. Here in this passage, we have one of the several instances where God the Father himself speaks out loud to God the Son. And the occasion of that verbal announcement is the occasion of the anointing of the Son of God. You'll notice here in Matthew 3 and verse 16 that immediately when Jesus came out of the water, in other words, he was immersed, behold, the heavens were opened unto him. And he, that is the Son, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The Spirit of God coming upon the Son of God in the form of a dove is not the representation of peace, but is the representation of the turtle dove sacrifice in the Old Testament. And when the Spirit of God came and anointed Jesus Christ upon his baptism, it was God the Father showing his good pleasure in the anointing of his Son for sacrifice. He honored his Son in anointing him for that sacrifice. And we know that it was an honor because this voice from heaven came and said, verse 17, that not only was this a son, but it was his own son. Not only was it his own son, it was his what? It was his beloved son. A son of whom God has loved with an infinite love from all eternity. It is a love of delight. It is a love of feeling. It was a love of commitment in the giving and entrusting all things of himself to his Son. It was a love that knew no bounds. It was a love that Jesus Christ himself knew even as he took on human personality and he took on the vessel of human clay. It was a voice that he needed both to hear and to see the anointing in the form of a dove. And the Bible says that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, God the Father looked down upon the man, Jesus Christ, and he considered him worthy. He considered him a delight, a pleasure. That when God the Father looked upon God the Son, it actually moved within him a joy, a pleasure, an infinite delight as he beheld his only begotten Son. And all of that delight, and all of that good pleasure, and all of that voice, and all of that honor occurred when he was anointed for sacrifice. Turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Here we have a second occurrence of the Lord's commendation of our Lord. In Matthew 17, we have the Mount of Transfiguration. And in verse 3, what you have here is an appearance of Moses and Elijah talking with him. Luke says that they were talking and discussing about the Lord's soon coming Exodus. It's translated in the Gospel of Luke by the term decease. So what you have here, now think about this, you have three people, three human beings. One of them has radiant lightning for clothing. The door of his humanity is peeled back. And you see the glory of the Son of God. His face, verse 2, shone as the sun. You have the appearance of Moses and Elijah. And what is being discussed among those three human beings is the sacrifice, the atonement. And of course, Peter, as we all know, comes in and gives his own verbiage in the midst of it. And in Matthew 17 and verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud. Now, brethren, do we understand that what God the Father did was interrupt Peter? Did you see that in the text? While he was yet what? While he was yet speaking. God the Father, in the Shekinah glory, comes and speaks out of the midst of the cloud and tells Peter, James, and John, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do what? Hear him. What is he talking about? His soon coming sacrifice. And of course, we know that the disciples did not hear it because later on they're arguing about who's the greatest. But the point here is that our Lord speaks of our Lord by interrupting human conversation and says, this is my possessed Son. This is my only Son. This is my beloved Son. And I delight myself in Him. And when I see Him and I behold Him and I see His thoughts and I see His actions, they are all a perfect reflection of me and I delight in that. In John chapter 12, as we turn over to that passage, we have another instance of God the Father speaking in the midst of, again, we will note that it is in the midst of the arena of sacrifice. And in John 12, verse 23, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then there was a verbal response to that prayer in which that response was, I have both glorified it, and I will what? I will glorify it again. Meaning, at that hour, when the Son of God, the one whom God the Father loves and delights in, when He is hung between heaven and earth, He is going to magnify the grace and mercy and love of Himself. Again, the voice comes in relationship to what? His sacrifice. Now go back to Matthew, and go back to Matthew chapter 12. And what we have here is not another verbal presentation in the life of our Lord of this same truth, but what we have is the very prophecy by which God was going to show His love toward His Son. And in Matthew chapter 12, and in verse 18, it says, Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 3 are quoted. Now note verse 18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my what? My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. So folks, Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before the appearance of the Son of God in human flesh. He prophesied that God the Father would choose a servant. It would be His Son. It would be my beloved. And it would be one in whom my soul is well pleased. And twice in our Gospels, the Lord, now listen, God the Father actually quotes Isaiah. Because He loves the Son with an everlasting love. This is very hard for me, so just bear with me here for a second. With such infinite love, and infinite pleasure, and infinite delight, and infinite joy, of infinite reflection of all that God is, of the beauty thereof, of His only begotten Son, how would a father react to a creation that put him to death? How would you react What do you think? This afternoon, Pastor Hoffman was in my study, Walter's laying in his arms. Isn't that sweet? I remember when my children did that. Now they're too big. How would he react? How would you react? How offended would your love be? How hurt would you be? How much pain would you have in your own soul that you'd have to deal with? All the love that God had for His Son. Folks, what kind of love was it that when God the Father placed on His own Son the iniquity of us all, that He was bound by His very nature to condemn sin in the flesh of the Son of God, even though it was His only begotten Son. You know, our thoughts about God's love are so shallow, so small. How would God the Father react to the death of His only Son? Well, the Bible says that on one aspect, God was well pleased to bruise His own Son. He was well pleased to do this. But on the other hand, there was the anger of God that was struck. Folks, what was the very first thing that God the Son said? Father, what? Forgive them. Do you realize that when the Son of God said it, it was a reflection of the mind of God? Even though it cost Him His only begotten Son. How would God the Father react to the death of His only Son? The Bible says that the creation was so moved that darkness fell upon the land. Imagine everything going dark. The Bible says that the reaction to the death of His only Son had an emotional element in the Son. The Son, the Bible said, cried, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The Bible says that that was not the only cry of the Son of God. The Bible says, again He cried with a loud voice as He yielded that holy body to the grips of the condemnation of death. The Bible says He yielded His spirit. That even at that moment, He entrusted His own spirit and His own body into the hands of God as God delivered it over to the enemy of death. The Bible says that the veil rent in half, that the earth shook, and the rocks split in two. That was an awful day, wasn't it? But the love of God was seen in that day. I can't imagine when in Psalms it said, all of heaven is told, lift up your heads, you holy gates, for here enters in the Son of God. Can you imagine Him returning triumphantly through the gates of glory, because death could not hold Him? Can you imagine the delight of God the Father? The joy of heaven, the radiant outshining of that beauty. Can you imagine the joy unspeakable? Can you imagine the humbling of all creation. And we're going to think about that death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to think about that love. And what I want us to think about is the love of God the Father to God the Son. And the love of God the Son to God the Father. Let's bow our heads with our heads bowed, our eyes closed as our men come and prepare our table.